Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And Len White Jr. provocatively argued that religion, specifically Christianity, was in fact responsible for the worldview that sets human beings apart from nature and that justifies the domination of nature by human beings. He saw that worldview as rooted in Christianity. And he said, if we're to solve environmental problems, we have to have more than just technical solutions. We have to think about the underlying worldviews that have created these problems.
Nature and religion have always been entwined, from the days of worshipping the forces of nature down to the complicated ways in which religion invokes it today. Hinduism, where one literally worships rivers, seems like a religion that is still very involved with nature. After all, the Ganga cleanses you of the sins of your lifetime, whereas the Narmada does that for the past seven. But then, why do we treat our rivers so badly?
My name is Michael Allen. I am an assistant professor at the University of Virginia. I specialize in Hinduism, Indian philosophy, and religion and ecology. And with Hinduism, it's the same thing, is that there are complexities. It would be far too simple to say either, look, Hindu religion is ecological, is inherently environmental, look, rivers are worshipped. So you can make that case. On the one side, you can say, look, the Yamuna is not just a river. It's not just a resource, so to speak. It is Yamuna Ma. It's Mother Yamuna. It's a mother. It's a goddess. It has its source in the celestial realms. And therefore, we need to treat it with respect. And that's certainly true. But on the other hand, there's, of course, this paradox, right, is that you do have the spiritual significance of the river, and yet that hasn't stopped people from polluting the river. You look at the river and see what a terrible state it's in. And there are even subtle ways, and some not so subtle, in which religious performance can contribute to pollution. So I was there in October during Durga Puja and saw firsthand, right, how people are dumping puja materials into the river, and of course they're also submerging the murtis in the river, and that's a problem that temples themselves are aware of, and there are at least some temples that have had green initiatives to use paints in the murtis that are biodegradable, that are not going to be harmful to the river, but there are still many people that don't follow that newer green practice, so that itself becomes a source of pollution for the river.
Welcome to Water from the Indian Express. I'm your host, Ameya Nagarajan. Sacred rivers are not new to India, so I was not surprised to learn that Yamuna is also a goddess. I did not know, however, that she is the daughter of Surya and Yama's sister, and also the river of transformation and love.
My name is David Haberman. I'm a professor of religious studies at Indiana University and focus primarily on religions of India, with, I suppose, a special focus on Hinduism. And my interest over the last couple of decades has been looking at human interaction with natural entities. So in the 16th century, with the renaissance of the Krishna tradition, she's developed into an exquisite goddess. And although there is some general goddess theology, if I can use that term for her, that characterizes the goddess in terms of Shakti, that divine energy, or Prakriti, the world of nature. She's connected to all that, but each of the goddesses has a specific role, and hers most specifically is that she is a goddess of love, and is her waters are understood to be an aquatic form of love. And she is the one who introduces souls into the divine love affair. So she becomes, let's say, just an amazing goddess of love. She's associated with Krishna. She's understood in many ways to be a female form of Krishna. She's considered to be the chief lover of Krishna, often identified with Radha.
The Yamuna is strongly revered in the Vaishnavite traditions of the Braj Mathura region. David even told me a story of how she transforms Shiva because he wants to dance with Krishna.
I suppose one of my favorite stories of her is the story that is associated with Gopeshwar. There's a very unique temple in Vrindavan where the Shiva Lingam is dressed up as a beautiful gopi every evening. And the story behind that is that Mahadev was sitting up in meditation on Mount Kailash and, you know, removed from the world in many ways in his meditation. But he woke up with this urge to participate in Krishna's loving Leela in Vrindavan, and came down from the Himalaya and tried to enter into Vrindavan, but could not cross the Yamuna River. And after becoming frustrated with that, finally appeals to Yamuna Maya and says, "What gives? Why can't I enter into Vrindavan?" And she says, "There's two problems. One is that you are a male, and the second is that you are an ascetic, and only lovers of Krishna are allowed to enter into Vrindavan to participate in his loving Leela." And she said, "If you want to enter into Vrindavan, you will have to bathe in my waters." So Shiva enters into the waters of Yamuna and comes out on the other bank in Vrindavan in the form of a beautiful gopi called Gopeshwar.
But somehow, upriver in Delhi, there's no love for Yamuna Maiya. Back in the 70s, the Yamuna in Delhi was, well, it was probably polluted, but it was also a river that people used. There were yacht clubs, people used to picnic on the banks. I mean, this is something I heard from many people over the course of my interviews. But Delhi's demands from the river were too high. Today, one of the many problems with the Yamuna is that essentially all the water in the river is diverted to the Wazirabad barrage to give drinking water to Delhi. This means the river has nothing with which to clean itself, as much as it can against the onslaught of the pollutants it collects along the way. The biggest contributor of this pollution? Well, that's the Najafgarh Nala. 70% of the pollution in the entire Yamuna from Yamunotri to Prayag comes from the Najafgarh Nala. Take a minute to think about that. A 1992 article in the Economic and Political Weekly showed that even back then, Delhi was still sucking all the water out of the river. But somehow the situation wasn't this bad. So what's changed? I spoke to an environmental historian, Abir Saha, who spent time researching the religious and ecological history of the Yamuna.
So there's been a dramatic change just in the last 40, now coming to be 50 years. And part of my project and my goal in the Yamuna River Project is to figure out what's really changed in these last 50 years. And my prognosis is that it's obviously been a combination of things. One is that the population of Delhi has exploded. And that obviously is putting strains on and a sort of underdeveloped sewage system and general municipal system. And there are so many more sort of industrial pollutants that are entering the river.
The Yamuna has great spiritual significance. In Delhi itself, there's a temple that claims to have been visited by Tulsidas in the 16th century. And there's another one called Neeli Chhatri that is said to have been founded by Yudhishthira. But somehow the spiritual value of the river just doesn't get into the city. And as a result, between sucking up all the water at Wazirabad and filling the river with all its pollution, Delhi kind of kills the river for all the people who worship it further down.
So I was studying how these same devotees in the Vrindavan Mathura area were really horrified to find out that there was no Yamuna water passing through Delhi to reach the Mathura Vrindavan area. And so they started campaigning to allow more water to be let out at these various dams.
There has been an effort to revitalize the spiritual value of the Yamuna in Delhi, though it, like everything else, is not without its problems. Michael told me about the Yamuna Aarti that is performed every evening at Gita Ghat, near the Kashmiri Gate, ISPT.
And there's five pandas who perform this very elaborate aarti. It's the same kind of aarti that's been popularized in the last few years in Benares and in Haridwar as well. Very elaborate performance kind of aarti. So Delhi, the people who had sponsored this and the government of Delhi as well, had this idea that, well, we could draw attention to the river, maybe help with tourism and also help with cleanup of the river if we have this elaborate style aarti. So back in 2015, I believe there were one or two ministers that attended the first aarti performance, and also pandas from Benares were brought to Delhi to supervise this first aarti, and it was quite an elaborate spectacle.
Even this fails, though, for reasons obvious to urban planners.
I mean, the thing is this, is you have the Yamuna River, and you have these temples, and you have things going along the banks, and then you have an 8-lane highway effectively cutting off the Yamuna and life over at the Yamuna from the rest of Delhi. So this site, Gita Ghat, where this aarti is performed every evening, it is lovely. I attended it two evenings myself, just very beautiful aarti. And it's a beautiful spot. They have a garden planted there, really well-maintained grass. It's really quite a lovely, peaceful spot. But it is very difficult to get to. There's no footbridge leading to it whatsoever. So unless you're already on that side of the river, you either have to risk your life crossing this 8-lane highway, or you have to take a bus or a car to get there, very roundabout way to get there. So that's one thing that struck me. I think part of the problem of the Yamuna is infrastructural, and that's part of what this project has highlighted.
Next week, we wrap up the series with a look at what these infrastructural and other challenges are. We'll also explore what can be done to revive the Yamuna and the lessons we can take from this to the rest of our rivers. This is Water from the Indian Express.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.